Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
40 seconds to go. Watson takes a knee. And this game is done at NRG Stadium. The Houston Texans fight so hard for so long, but they're unable to come up with what they need to on offense and lose to the Cleveland Browns 27-14 on Deep Steel Sunday.
The crazy thing about that game, by the way, welcome in Reaction Monday, Sports Radio 610. In listening to Mark, I've listened to practically none of the highlights from the game. We'll play a few of them during the show.
Why haven't you relived that?
Had better things to do than listen to the highlights. Listening to Mark right there talk about just not able to generate enough on offense, the Texans yesterday, yet neither were the Browns. They generated 6 points on offense. Unfortunately, two defensive touchdowns and a punt return for a touchdown, and the Browns get the win over the Texans yesterday. As we welcome you in on a Reaction Monday, 27-14, the final score. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. My biggest takeaway, Seth, by the way, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, what's up?
My biggest takeaway from yesterday, we'll get into Deshaun and the reaction to Deshaun in the stadium and the fans and things like that. We've got plenty of time to get into that. We'll get into Pep Hamilton and whatever the hell that was down near the goal line, that play calling. My biggest, and I guess this is kind of woven into the Pep Hamilton side of this and by proxy the Lovie Smith side of this and certainly the Kyle Allen side of this. My biggest takeaway is that it was a huge missed opportunity for the fans to feel good for a few days about this team. Mm-hmm. The atmosphere, I would say the atmosphere yesterday in and around the stadium was not at the level when this team is competing for the postseason or in the postseason or there's a big game in town during the regular season. But compared to what it's been like the last 2 years, it felt fairly normal again. And the volume with which they were greeting Deshaun Watson with the boos, I thought it exceeded what I thought it would be. And for a while, most of the facets of this Texans team was keeping this team in the game, or were keeping this team in the game and giving this crowd something to root about. And then the coaching staff just fails them again. It was a huge missed opportunity to me yesterday, just for 3 or 4 days to feel good about the team.
I think, I guess one part about the coaching staff failing them, perhaps, where I would just say, okay, we got to shift some of that blame also to Kyle Allen. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between how Davis Mills seemed to be regressing, and it didn't seem like his development was... There was no reason to keep Davis Mills in because he wasn't helping the team and he wasn't helping himself. I was curious to see what would happen with Kyle Allen, and I think a lot of people are claiming, oh, I thought... Everybody said that Davis Mills was the issue, and now look, I don't think anybody really was saying that Davis Mills was the issue. It was that Davis Mills wasn't helping,
right.
So you might as well see Kyle Allen and see how he does. Kyle Allen is flat-out inept, where Davis Mills, at the very least, was underperforming, but Kyle Allen and his ineptitude is what turns what would be bad offensive football into disastrous offensive football. The fumble that was turned into a touchdown on a QB sneak. This QB sneak is supposed to be like the safest of all football plays. The quarterback, it's guaranteed you're going to get some yardage. The quarterback hardly ever gets hurt, even though you'd think they must all the time.
And the goal of that particular QB sneak wasn't even to get a first down or to get a touchdown or do something where you're attacking. The goal of that particular QB sneak was to give the punter more room.
That was all, yes. It was specifically for the safety of the offense.
You're not reaching, you know.
Boy, was it a Gunga Buale that also reached out towards the goal line too?
Might have
like,
been.
Guys, come on, let's go New England rules here, and like you're not allowed to reach the goal line. But so the other part of Kyle Allen in the zone read game, was that he's just completely inept in the zone read game too, which was something I was hoping he'd be better at because he has experience with it. But down on the goal line, he had a bad read on that third and short that Ogunbowale came up shy of the goal line. He fumbled it another time on the exchange. He's just inept out there. And he might get Nico Collins murdered at some point because he just throws these murder balls. The only thing, the redeeming thing I can say about Kyle Allen's inaccuracy is that sometimes the balls are thrown so high that the receiver doesn't even bother going up for it.
Right.
Because you can tell the moment it leaves his hand almost.
There's no in between.
Yeah, he's like a good center fielder. Yeah. He's like, oh, all right, well, I'm just going to let this one sail over my head. I got a good read on this one. Yeah, I could tell by the sound of the bat.
He's the Yordan Alvarez of quarterbacks.
is that what we're calling Yordan now?
he just sails it over everybody's head.
Of quarterbacks. Yeah, sorry. I thought you were talking about outfielders. You moved Yordan over to center already, did you? All right, I know he's better than we thought.
Kyle Allen's arm is Yordan Alvarez. Perez is bad.
So
Kyle Allen definitely culpable in this whole thing. It's just when I point the finger at Pep Hamilton, and again by proxy Lovie Smith, Lovie rubber stamps everything because he's the head coach. They had a chance to take control of this game, and people may say control of this game. It would have been 10-0 if they score. Yeah, but if you were watching Cleveland yesterday offensively, if they score a touchdown there and go up 10-0, and then just don't give up two defensive touchdowns and a 76-yard punt return. And I have a hard time pointing the finger at special teams in the big picture because they've actually been good this year. It was unfortunate that yesterday was the day that they give up that return to cough up the lead for good. But you have first and goal at the 3-yard line. You're up 3-0. You get a chance to go up 10-0. You get a little momentum. And that Dameon Pierce isn't on the field for those four downs is 100% malpractice.
Yeah, and I'm all for not getting Dameon Pierce too banged up in this lost season. I'm all for that. But there are moments where can you at least maybe reward some of those folks who have Dameon Pierce in fantasy? Can you give Texans fans who maybe they're a little too homerish in their proclivities in fantasy football, and they say, yeah, Dameon Pierce, that's my guy. Just go ahead and let him have a little bit of success as a rookie.
You're spot on with your Kyle Allen take, and I was thinking this yesterday during the second half of the game. I was getting mad at Davis Mills yesterday. And you may say, why were you getting mad at Davis Mills, Sean? He wasn't even playing yesterday. How can you get mad at him? I was getting mad at him that he couldn't hold his job until week 13.
Right.
Because Davis Mills, to your point, Davis Mills with a C-plus to B-minus level Davis Mills game wins that game yesterday.
Right. And Davis Mills was turning the ball over too much too, mind you. But just not in the same manner that Kyle Allen is.
Not in the Pop Warner manner that Kyle Allen is.
Right. It's a less worse version of football. You can still maintain your draft position with Davis Mills, but it'll be somewhat more entertaining to watch, I think.
That was the one game we wanted them to win down the stretch.
It could have helped out a little bit.
You know, like that game would have been, they'd still be picking first in the draft if they'd won yesterday.
Yeah, if Deshaun Watson puts in another performance like that, there's not a single chance in hell they're beating the Bengals.
That's a great point. If we're looking for things to feel a little better about today, holy crap, Deshaun looked bad, probably very rusty, but he's playing in cold weather these next five games, outside.
Cold weather. The shame about yesterday was that 5-0 would have been the absolute best way to beat Deshaun Watson. You know, if you could beat the Browns 5-0 in a game in which they were favored by 7 to win.
You wanted that bad.
And yeah, like the ugliest score possible. A 5-2, I would have accepted even, but 5-0, 5-2 would have displayed the complete and total ineptitude. Yes. I think, but 5-0 was my dream, and we all have to have dreams, you know. Sometimes you buy a lottery ticket, sometimes you marry a woman who's out of your league. I don't know what you do, but that was my dream.
5-0
At 5-0 in the first half, I thought somehow they'll be able to maintain this, and lo and behold, the Don't break defense did. They bended. They did not break. They couldn't
break
held 5-0, but still.
No, they didn't break at all.
Dude, I can't though. Listen, we can't with this team. We can't sit here and keep giving them attaboys about improving in the run defense as they give up how many yards of rushing
yesterday? It was like a $160 yesterday or something. Hang on a second.
Just heard too many places.
Talk for a little bit. I'm going to go 100. Find it here.
It's really, really bad.
You're so right about that. Yeah, I feel dirty in the post game.
No more
show.
Attaboys.
Not too bad, huh?
No more attaboys for objectively
bad. Our our scale has skewed so far with this team as to what feels acceptable and not acceptable. It's very, very frustrating. Let's see, box score, total rushing yards, 38 carries for 174
yards. 174 yards, but they've made vast improvements in their run defense.
4.6 yards per carry, below their season average, all right? Dude, that was...
We talk about run defense the same way you might, like when a good team lets up yards on defense because you're ahead by so much.
Yeah.
Somehow we're that way. Like, well, hey, the Browns were ahead, so they were running a lot, you see? So somehow that makes sense in my mind that when it really, really mattered, they had good run defense.
It is weird. No,
dude, okay.
Yeah.
We cannot let this go untalked about.
Okay.
That rugby scrum of Nick Chubb in the first quarter where...
He carried a bunch of dudes.
He carried... Yeah. He and, like... It was Nick Chubb and a couple of offensive linemen kind of pushing him along versus the entire Texans defense. Went a good 10 yards or so, I'd say.
Yeah.
That was one of the most they should have. It's like they left their testicles on the sidelines for that one. What the hell are you doing, guys? Unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
You need to run gassers for that one. Sorry.
Crazy. All right. We're off and running. We go through a whole open and just mentioned Deshaun Watson in passing. He was the big story yesterday. What was his reaction to the crowd's reaction? And actually, statistically, Deshaun, worst game as a pro yesterday. Ooh. So there was that. I've got some fun facts on that as well as we're off and running here on a Reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610. That is next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Deshaun Watson was statistically his worst game as a pro yesterday. We'll get to that. Just some context on how bad he was yesterday. I would imagine Russ, a big part of that. But the crowd certainly let him know how they felt about him. Here was Deshaun Watson. The first of what was about a half dozen questions in his post-game press conference about the booing from the home crowd.
I mean, they're supposed to boo. You know, I'm a Cleveland Brown now, so and we're on the road, so they're supposed to boo.
Yeah, there's a lot more involved than just you being a Cleveland Brown. That's the right answer if you're Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he handled everything in terms of his answers really all week long. I know there are people that criticize his press conference, but I felt like that was the tactic he chose, and he followed the game plan of that tactic pretty well.
Yeah.
And when it came to... when it came to how he addressed the Texans, he went up and he hugged Cal McNair during pregame warmups.
Yeah, kind of shook hands and leaned in. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I don't know. It looks like the magnanimous thing, I suppose. I don't know if.
I guess.
I don't know if that's.
Hannah didn't seem to be having much of it.
It looked like Hannah had business elsewhere in that moment.
She turned around
like somebody had called her name or something. There was nobody there. She turned around. Pretty badass.
No,
she,
I loved it.
Deshaun came up and, like, you know, to bro hug Cal, and Cal's like very amenable, you know, and all. And but Hannah just turned right around. It was
it was phenomenal. It's on Albert Breer's Twitter feed.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Breer's
yeah.
the one who shot that video. I'm anxious to read Breer's column this morning because he was at the game yesterday.
He said he was going to steal something, I told him. So we'll have to see if
you talked to Albert Breer?
I talked to him as I was walking out the stadium, and we were talking about the Deshaun Watson dynamic and how he said it seemed, and I think he was a little surprised. He said it seemed like a lot of people were telling him that everybody's just kind of over it. There wasn't the level of vitriol that you might think. And what I told him was, you know, really, I think people are tired of being a spectacle. Like, they're tired of all the different reasons people are talking about the Texans and all of the dysfunction that's come with it for the last 2 years. So, yeah, it's just, it's in a way, people were just, I think a lot of people were just happy that there was some semblance of finality that, like, all right, now we're officially over. It was even weird in the way the league handled it, in which the settlement that Deshaun had, to where his first game back was going to be versus the Texans. The league let him practice for seemingly like 5 weeks before he came back.
They let him back in the building in the middle of October. They let him start practicing about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Which is strange.
It's a settlement.
So I think that's a lot of it. But Deshaun, back to what you were originally saying, He handled the PR side of it pretty well, including in the post game.
Yeah. The booing. He got asked questions about are you sorry? You know, are you remorseful for what you did? He handled those the way he should have been handling all the legal questions all along.
Yeah.
Which is to not talk about innocence or guilt in this whole thing. It's just defer. He finally starts doing that a year into this thing. Or whatever.
Which is never going to make everybody happy, because people either want one of two things. They either want a complete admission. Yeah. Or they want a furious denial. And Deshaun is just not going to give you... Deshaun does milk toast.
Yeah.
That's what he does. He's always very bland and boring in his interviews. I'm not even saying that as a criticism. I feel like your quarterback should be kind of boring in interviews.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't boring on the field.
He was atrocious.
That was really, really bad by Deshaun. Like Kyle Allen level embarrassing.
Yes, it was a horrible quarterback game. And ironically, one of the quarterbacks was Deshaun Watson in this game. Just a few contextualization factoids here for Deshaun's game yesterday. Yesterday, and just to lay this out, the Browns scored 27 points. 21 of those points were generated by defense and special teams directly. The other 6 points were generated by the offense. That was the first time in Deshaun's career that he was part of an offense that didn't generate a touchdown for an entire game. That's number one. Number two, I in doing this little bit of research to go find this stuff, He's only had two games in his whole career. He started 54 games now, I think, something like that. He's only had two games in his whole career until yesterday where he hasn't had either a touchdown pass or a rushing touchdown in. Baltimore in 2019, where they got smoked 41-7. And then that Tampa Bay game later on in 2019, where Bradley Roby had the pick six, like on the first play, and Justin Reed almost had a pick six, like the next offensive snap by Jameis Winston. Those are the only two games he hasn't generated a passing touchdown or a rushing touchdown. It was the lowest passer rating he's had in a game in his career, by far, by seven rating points, 53.4. He's only had six other games where he's even been under 70 in his whole career. So it was a bad, bad day yesterday. Here was Lovie Smith on holding Deshaun Watson to his lowest passer rating.
Well, I think we're healthy right now, for one thing, defensively. And I'm going to go back to the second half of the Miami game. We shut them out the second half. So defensively, we see it coming. Guys were playing hard, start to finish, right up until gave us a chance. So we're doing what the defense says do. And it says a lot, though, in a game like that, giving us a chance to stay in the game. But we got to have some more on the other side.
All right, okay. Can he just leave out the part about the Miami game?
He cannot.
He referenced it twice yesterday. He said they played six quarters of good football. It was very, this is a problem. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. Just acknowledge that you're not playing well and don't try to scramble for credit with things that nobody's going to credit you for. The second half of the Miami game, you started off down 30-0. You had a good 1.5 series. That's all you're allowed to claim credit for in the second half of the Miami game, in which Mike McDaniel, for God knows what reason, decided to keep passing and you scared them into taking
Tua
out of the game.
Yeah.
So, okay, you get credit for that, but then you played a backup quarterback. Like, it wasn't really against a team that was up by 30 points. All right. Anyway, But other than that, yesterday I thought they played.
Yeah.
They played just plenty fine. That,
that's where he doesn't need to mention the Miami thing,
right?
Because
no. But I feel like he's got it. Yeah, he's got it set in his heart. Like, I'm going to prove everybody. If there's one thing I know, we're good in the second half.
We
of Miami
played
game.
Against Miami. No. Because here's the thing about that. Here's what's silly about mixing in last week's game is that there are plenty of caveats you can come up with for why Deshaun Watson was bad yesterday. He's rusty. He hasn't played in 700 days, whatever. I was here this morning willing to give the Texans defense credit.
Yeah.
With some of what, I thought they put good pressure on Deshaun yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there were parts of the defense that played, obviously, lots. You know, the rushing defense was what it was. But in particular, holding Deshaun Watson to 130 yards passing, I think rust had something to do with it. The balls that are skipping to guys, you know, like one-hopping to guys, that looks like rust.
Yeah.
But I think the Texans did some things to make Deshaun feel uncomfortable. But Lovie Smith comes in, swooping in with this Miami game still tucked under his arm, like it's something that matters.
That's the part that feels like job preservation. That's the part
and
that
feels
like... And
it should be the opposite. It should be the opposite. Anybody with a brain knows that Miami second half was fugazi.
That's a, hey, you know, the guy that delivered you the glorious second half of the Miami game. Let's remember who that guy is. He's got two thumbs and a glorious beard. This guy.
Okay.
I'm pointing at myself.
Now, if he does that in any of the press conferences between now and the end of the year, I'll change my mind on him being around for 2023.
Hey, fellas, who had seven? Okay, yesterday, next week after they play the Cowboys, God help us, he's going to come in and say, "Hey, who headed into this game had played? Had been the defensive coordinator of a defense that had played six good quarters, and now is the defensive coordinator of a defense that has played." 7.5 good quarters in a row after they let up like four. We were pretty good that first quarter and a half. That was seven and a half quarters of pretty good football by the defense, I'll tell you.
Lovie needs to turn into date night Michael Scott and for the rest of the year. Remember when he got fixed up by Jim and Pam on The Office? And he goes, he finds out he's actually fixed up on a date and he puts that chotch hat on and just starts acting like a totally different person.
No, I don't know.
Oh, it's a great episode. Hey, I'm Michael Scott. Nice to meet me. If Lovie starts doing that, then I am down. All right. Reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610. By the way, quick update. Texans picking first in the draft still. The Cleveland pick right now sits at 13th in the draft. So that's where we are. The Tankathon update. All right. Up next, we actually have decisions in-game to sink our teeth into today. We have not had that in a long, long time. Actual decisions made by the coaching staff that impacted winning and losing. And this was egregious yesterday. This was malpractice. And we will relive it through the eyes of the quarterback and the running back and the head coach involved. That is next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Action Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, the most egregious sequence of the game yesterday. I'll be honest with you, the fact that we're actually talking about decisions made in-game, even though they were horrible decisions, actually feels kind of normal. It feels kind of good to come in on a Reaction Monday and talk about, hey, the coaching staff should have done this at this particular juncture in a game, instead of coming in and going, well, the magic number for the number one overall pick is 4 more losses or whatever it is.
Right.
Like, to actually have a micro topic to talk about feels kind of normal and good to me.
Luckily,
today,
we've got that semi-win that Lovey gave
us,
too.
Yeah.
To keep the, semi-win.
Yeah, yeah, to keep the drama more. If one of those other teams, you know, if the Texans pick up a win somehow here, they're not going to be 1 game back. They're going to be a half game back from the number one overall spot.
That's true. Yes, they will be a semi-win ahead. Yeah.
Did you miss the first time?
No, I like hearing it. I just like playing it a couple of times. Yeah. Play it again, Ben.
Semi-win.
There you go. Thank you. Pep Hamilton two instances in a row where I look at this, and I'm already out on Pep Hamilton, but this is. These were two sequences that made zero sense. Zero sense. And it's still at a juncture in the game where the Texans, the first drive I'm going to talk about, the game was scoreless at the time. They wound up with a field goal, but some of the things that happened on this drive from a play calling standpoint made no sense. Texans are moving the ball. They get the ball to the 16-yard line, the Browns 16-yard line. They get a face mask penalty on Brevin Jordan
to
make it first and 25. They get a false start on Titus Howard to make it first and 30. So now it's first and 30 at the, I guess it would be the 36-yard line.
Ugh.
First and 30, they run the ball up the middle.
Well, you got to, Sean. It's easy pickings right there. Why would you why would you try to do something that might get you a first down or closer to the end zone when you've got a shot at running for how many yards?
They got 6 yards.
Yeah,
on the
that's what happens,
I'm
baby.
Sure
6 yards right against a softer defense.
Sure the defense was real buckled down against the run there.
Yeah, so now you see the thing is, you got to play Sean. You gotta stay on schedule is what they love to say.
Yeah.
So now you're sitting there pretty at
2nd and 24.
Yes.
Yeah. 2nd and 24,
which gives you a great opportunity to
the playbook is really wide open at that point.
Right. So it's 2nd and 24.
So you run the ball up the middle again
because it's easy picking.
Yeah.
What do you not understand about easy picking?
You're starting to talk me into this. They got 5 yards on that play.
So which gives you.
3rd and 19.
Yeah, my God.
No, I know. Yeah,
look at that.
They averaged 5.5 yards per carry on those two carries right there to set up 3rd and 19. Here's my issue. Yeah. Here's my issue. When they ran it on first down and ran it on second down at that point in the game, what I perceived that to be was, okay, maybe they're just playing it conservative because you got Kyle Allen as your quarterback, and converting a 3rd and long with Kyle Allen is a fool's game, and you're setting up, let's get a field goal, let's get the lead. I don't like the lack of aggression, but I understand that at least. Mm-hmm. That is a defensible explanation that I would disagree with, but you can defend that. On 3rd and 19, Kyle Allen just drops back and throws a fade to the back of the end zone.
Desperation heat.
I mean.
Which is what it turns into, baby. Man, Pep Hamilton loves him the route that was proven to be the dumbest route in football. Several years ago when people realized, like, oh, wow, these end zone fades, there's a thing. They hardly ever work. And when they do, it's because you've got Kelvin Johnson.
God, it's the worst. So I'm fuming about that. I'm like, this makes no sense. And then the next drive, we get the one that everybody's talking about. 4 plays inside the 3-yard line. And not only does Damian Pierce not touch the ball, he's not on the field. They throw the ball on 1st and 2nd down. On 3rd down, they hand the ball to Daria Gumbawale. And then on 4th down, from the 1-yard line, which I had no problem going for the touchdown there, zero problem going for the touchdown, they throw a pass to Troy Hairston out in the flat.
You got to, Sean.
A rookie fullback who was playing linebacker this time last year.
Exactly, Sean, which is what the Browns were thinking, too. Like, that guy looks like a converted linebacker. We won't worry about him.
That looks like just the guy Pep Hamilton would target on this
play. Pep Hamilton lines up, like, in a heavy formation with a fullback. Like, oh, yeah, this is definitely run. Then they run a play in which at no point, at any millisecond after the snap, did anybody on the field think it was a run. because there was no actual play action on it or anything.
Oh my
so
God.
from the very snap, everybody can tell that it's a pass. And then Troy Harrison is sitting out there like a pawn on a chessboard, just waiting to be taken.
That's the other thing. They almost got him killed.
I know. I like Troy Harrison.
I do
too. I don't want to see him murdered in cold blood out there.
I like him a lot.
I would say the play before that, though, on that zone read, Kyle Allen's awful at that, too. That was one thing that I was hopeful he'd be better at than it was actually going to be an RPO. I thought Kyle Allen would be better at it because he's got experience at it, mm-hmm. where Davis Mills played in more of a pro-style system. But, man, he's atrocious. One of the fumbles that he recovered was on a zone read where he messed up the exchange. This play that went on third down to Ogunbowale, Myles Garrett, Kyle Allen, I think, saw a flash of Myles Garrett, got terrified out of his mind.
Here you go.
And handed the ball off to Ogunbowale, and Myles Garrett just never considered Kyle Allen a single threat whatsoever either pass or carry the ball. So he hawked down poor Ogunbowale, and he was mowed down in his tracks.
He was.
So it's just like Harrison would have played later due to the ineptitude of Pep Hamilton and one Kyle Allen.
Here was Kyle Allen on that sequence of plays down near the goal line.
Yeah, they subbed in big personnel to stop the run, so we were going passes. And first one, no one was there, just threw it away. I don't remember. I think we ended up running the ball on third down to get down to the one, and then the play, I think fourth down, just the one to Troy. The ball came out high. There was a guy in the window. I tried to get it over him, tie, and hit off his hand. So, it would have been huge if we could have scored there.
Yeah, it would have been huge. It came out high. Yeah, Troy Harrison's like, yeah, no bleep, it came out high. Almost got killed.
I did like what Pep started off the game doing, running a bunch of bootleg, and I thought that was a smart strategy to have some easy passes, throws. It'd be nice if Brevin Jordan could, on one of those bootlegs, if Brevin Jordan could catch the balls that hit him in the hands.
Yeah.
A lot of the other guys, I give a lot of passes to some of the other drops because they were way off
target.
Bad
passes, yeah.
Brevin Jordan, rough return for Brevin Jordan.
After being a face mask. Scratch.
Yeah, a dropped pass.
Yeah, dude, a face mask that killed a drive. They were moving the ball at that point. Here's my issue with what Kyle Allen just said. And my issue is not with Kyle Allen. It's with something that he said that I think illuminates where we're at with this team. The defense had big personnel in there, so we had to pass the ball.
Mm.
I long for the days where we are the team that can dictate terms to the other side. I long for the days, and hope that someday it'll happen again, where they have big people out there? Well, guess what we're going to do? We're going to line up with our big people and bust their big people. I will remind Kyle Allen and Pep Hamilton that those big people they have out there are part of a rush defense that has been nearly as bad as the Texans' rush defense this year.
Yeah, that's right.
And that you're putting it in the hands of Kyle Allen at that point.
Yeah.
Who is the Texans' rush defense of quarterbacks.
The offensive line is the interesting one, because I think they're showing a lot of signs of what they always used to show when Bill O'Brien was here, which is when your offense is a hodgepodge of plays, the offensive line never really gets into any kind of groove or comfort level. So they play like, I won't use that term. Geldings, I'll say that.
Okay.
Does anybody know what a gelding is anymore?
No.
It's a castrated horse.
Oh, okay.
So they play with
what were you gonna say?
Well, was it
a character in Game of Thrones?
First I thought castrati, and then I was like, that's kind of a little nerdy sounding.
Yeah.
And then I thought I would say nutless, but I thought that was a little too graphic for 6:44 in the
probably.
Morning.
And he just said it.
But then I figured gelding maybe, which is a castrated horse. I don't know.
Nutless would have been good, I think.
Yeah. So, but that's what happens because they don't know what to expect or what they're even doing out there.
Right.
Who am I? Where am I? What am I doing?
Where am I? Who is this guy?
They're like Josh McCown on the internet. They just stumbled into a niche of.
This is a category I haven't seen before. Big people on the other side.
What's this here? Castrati. Yeah, I think maybe I'm into that. I don't know.
Wait, where am I? Who is this guy?
Whoa. That's not what I thought.
All right. The thing that has everybody angry about that sequence near the goal line was that Damian Pierce wasn't even on the field, let alone touching the football. Here was Lovie Smith after the game on that decision.
Hindsight right now, wish we had done something different. That didn't work. Us throwing, we thought we had a good play there. When you go for it on fourth down like that, I feel like we needed a touchdown in that situation. It's so hard to get down there. We need to be able to convert on those.
It's not hindsight. Here's my issue with that, okay? When he says, well, you know, hindsight, the plays didn't work, so you're always going to criticize that. I would have been fine if you ran it with Damian Pierce four times down there and you didn't get in. I really would have. I promise you I would have. This is where I'm at with the Texans offense right now. I'm not even angry that the plays don't work. I'm angry that the plays don't make sense.
Yeah.
That's if you. I need a good explanation for why you didn't have Damian Pierce out there. Like, that's the thing. I can live with 110-1. I can live with a lack of execution.
Sean,
I can't live with Pop Warner turnovers and Mickey Mouse decisions by the coaching staff.
I told you yesterday when you asked, wait, why did they run with Agumba Wale and then pass to Troy Harrison?
Yes.
I said, Sean, it's because Rex Burkhead is injured. Duh, because you don't have the electric Rex Burkhead.
Which is hilarious, and yet I had a hard time processing it when you said it to me, because I'm like, well, that... They might have wanted Rex Burkhead.
Of course they did. A lot of times Rex Burkhead will go out there, and I'm like, wait, is that Rex Burkhead or is that Dave Meggett? I can't tell. Is that the? Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Rex
Dave
Burkhead.
Meggett's long gone.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Rex Burkhead. Okay. Speaking of Dave Meggett, your confusion when the Browns ran their little bit of trickery and deception yesterday with it, the little give to the tight end.
Oh, the jet screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't even a jet screen.
Jet
it was a handoff.
Jet sweep.
Even a jet sweep, but yeah, it was a little give.
Yeah.
But it was, for a second I thought, oh crap, it's Peyton Hillis. He's back.
Yeah, you did.
It's like, if it's Peyton Hillis, he's back and he's like 6 inches taller now.
Yep.
My God.
They found
Peyton
him.
Peyton Hillis would have torn their
they
asses
found him.
Up
he
yesterday.
Was working in a Walmart in Sandusky, Ohio, and they found him.
So, yeah, it's, the thing with Pep Hamilton is that I do feel like, you get into that mode where, okay, you're two-thirds of the way through the season, and they're realizing that if we could go back in time and probably just stuck with one or two things to try to get really good at, that might have been the best strategy, but it's far too late for that.
Yep.
It's like the night before one of the really hard subjects, like chemistry or physics or something, where you're like, oh, there is no cramming. Like, there's just not... There's nothing I can do.
There's no time.
I have to find the answer key to the test or something. Because there's no... Some classes you can cram and just memorize a bunch of stuff.
Yep.
But if you didn't learn how to do the chemistry back in September and October, you're screwed come finals
That's
time.
That's an NFL offense.
That's where
right
the Texans
now.
Offense is right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
They've tried too many things, and they've spent too much time smoking weed in their gas mask bong in their dorm rooms to have a clue about what to do.
And
on...
it's 6:30 a.m. and the final starts at 8.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're Tommy Boy. I want them to cut to the booth, and it's actually Tommy Boy sitting down writing Herbie Hancock. On his test.
Here was Damian Pierce when asked after the game, were you surprised that you weren't called upon in that goal to go situation?
No, I'm not surprised. I trust Coach Pelp. You know, Coach Pelp has, you know, tremendous offensive mind. You know, he's probably seeing the subtle things that I don't see as a player right now. I'm still a young player, still learning the offense, you know, still learning the nuances that go into play calling down the distance or whatnot. You know, it's easy to say run the ball, but if we got to look at that, you know, open for a pass in the back of the end zone, you know, we're going to do that. So, you know, I'm all aboard, you know what I'm saying? Whatever play call we got, I'm going to make sure I do my job on that play. What am I responsibility to run the ball, blocking, or, you know, going out for a pass? I'm going to just make sure I do my job.
This staff does not deserve Damian Pierce.
I love him so much.
This staff does not deserve Damian Pierce.
He's the best. Oh, God, I hope he doesn't get injured. He's – would you rather fight one normal-sized – Damian Pierce or 10 chicken-sized Pep Hamiltons? I feel like 10 chicken-sized Pep Hamiltons would just run around and try to fool you with misdirection.
I feel like I would come to some sort of an agreement with the normal-sized Damian Pierce. He's just so amenable. The only times he's not amenable is when there's a football in his hands.
I know. He's the perfect football player. He's like a gentleman off the field and a beast on the field.
They don't deserve him. Whatever they need me to do, I'll block. I trust the coaches. You do? I'm glad you do, yeah. Damian.
You know what he is?
I have zero trust right now.
He's like an offensive Ronnie Lott. You know, like Ronnie Lott, like
yes.
On the field was the scariest human being in the world. And then
total
off the
gentleman.
Field, yeah, total gentleman.
Yeah.
Although with like in interviews, he would kind of tap into that side. But yeah, I feel like that's going to be Damian Pierce.
Oh, man. Damian is the best.
I feel like, you know what Damian would be? He'd be that person that, after being done a great wrong, would, even though he could kill a person with his bare hands, mm-hmm. like if somebody committed a crime or something, burglarized his house, Damian would show the utmost in restraint and talk about how he genuinely wishes that guy that he reforms himself.
At the very least, he would have a gentle conversation as the police while the police were on their way.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. Yeah,
I'd like to be the kind of person that, like, if somebody was on death row for killing a family member of mine or something, that I'd be able to show them some kind of like Christian charity,
mm-hmm.
but then also wink and whisper in their ear and tell them about what a nice time I treated his wife to the night before.
And remind them that he's going to die shortly.
hey, I snuck in and diluted the injection fluid. What do you think of that, buddy?
It's really going to burn.
All right.
That's dark.
Things,
yeah. That is dark, yes. Did you
so
see
anyway, Damian Pierce wouldn't do that.
He would no, he no. would definitely not. Yeah. Payne and Pendergast would. The Cowboys scored 33 points in the fourth quarter last night against the Colts. That's Texans' next opponent.
Well, but the Colts suck. We're talking about the Texans, Sean. Tell me, good luck with that. How nervous are the Cowboys right now?
Yeah.
How nervous are the Cowboys thinking about facing a defense that's played six good quarters of football, according to Lovie Smith?
Have you seen the spread on the game?
No.
Do you want to guess it?
It's in Dallas.
Yeah, it's Texans at Cowboys.
Well, last time I remember the Texans playing in Dallas, the Cowboys and one future broadcaster had to go to a silent count because the traveling Texans showed up in such
my how times have changed.
Force. Now they'll be there, Sean.
Oh, will they?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, they'll
hey, man,
be there.
It's a short drive, whatever.
Debbie the Texan is gonna shut up that Dak Prescott fellow.
The heat for 5,000 people.
I'm gonna guess 13 points.
15. Mm. Yeah, 15.
It's pretty healthy by NFL
standards.
Good
analysis.
This ain't the Big 8 we're talking about, people.
Good analysis.
So
there you go. Minus 15, the Dallas Cowboys. All right. Reactions to Deshaun Watson. Crowd reactions. Reactions from former teammates. What do we think of some of the visuals going on the field yesterday? Some of the questions for Deshaun Watson in his post-game press conference, I felt... And from what we heard, just the way that the press conference was handled by the Cleveland media folks.
We need to talk about this. These sons of guns.
This got Seth C. Payne a little riled up. You want to hear a riled up Seth C. Payne? Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.